Okay, we're back. And we're in Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, let's see, verse 9, Nehemiah in his prayer, reciting the word of God. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. And yes, that verse made me go off on a trail there, speaking about what would happen today. How would we apply that today? Of course, this scripture, it does apply today, but I believe it applies in a different way. He could bring some people back to Israel, to the land there in Israel. But I believe that really that the next great gathering will be in the resurrection. That's what I believe, because many people will never of Hebrew Israelite bloodline or Shemites, however you want to label them. They use the word anti-Semitism, which is really from the word Shemite or anti-Shemitism. Of course, Shem being the brother through whom the line, the seed line came, especially of the Israelite people, and of course, the Messiah. So you have the term anti-Shemite or anti-Semite. That's where it comes from. So speaking of Shemites here, and in the time of Nehemiah, this was fitting because they were there, and Jerusalem, the place they would be gathered to, was there too. But, you know, we have a different thing here today. We have people all over the planet. And then we have many who call themselves Jews, but are not. And even in the days of the Messiah, in John's prophecies in the book, the Revelation, the Messiah spoke of those who called themselves Yahudim, but are not, the people of God, but are not. And that could be people who actually call themselves Jews or Israelites. It could even refer to someone like the Catholic Church, because what are they really calling themselves? They're calling themselves the people of God, or God's chosen ones. So those who say they are God's chosen ones, but are not. I mean, there could be several applicability to that statement there when you really think about it. But we won't go any further into that. Let's continue here in Nehemiah in verse 10. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, so perhaps this is the 20th year of Artaxerxes. And boys, now I need to chart all this out and see when Artaxerxes lived, and but we'll just continue here, because I kind of try to get a picture of where all this fits in my mind. But in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been formerly sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? And here we learn a little bit more about the character of Nehemiah. The character of Nehemiah, well, one, being reverential, being prone to pray and humble, also cheerful, that he was ordinarily a very cheerful man. That's what I see here. And so much so that the king, when he came before the king noticed that, hey, this is not normal for Nehemiah. something's wrong. He's not his cheerful, usual cheerful self. And so the king comments on it. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city and the place of my father's sepulchres lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make requests? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah his the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came unto Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some of the men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for beast, for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest, what that did the work. Then said I unto them, see ye the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire? Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I'm believing that this is after the temple was built, and they had dedicated the temple, and then so Nehemiah comes after what Ezra had written about. And Nehemiah is still a servant and a cupbearer for Artaxerxes at that time. And this is like 20 years later. And so we have a whole history here from the time of the captivity. Then we had the 2300 days from Daniel's prophecy when he's still in the captivity, the 70-year captivity in Babylon. And then they have the 2300 days and the temple is built. And now we have Nehemiah coming some 20 years later, the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes. So we've got a timeline going here. And what we see here and what we need to get kind of in our mind is the fact that from the time that the temple was rebuilt and then the wall in the city was rebuilt, and we have a timeline of 400 to 500 years leading up to the Messiah, where Israel is nestled in here with Jerusalem, and some of them are still scattered among the nations around there, and some of them have returned to Jerusalem and its suburbs. And this is how Israel is existing, not as a separate nation, but as a as a people amongst other nations for that 490-year period. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. They despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? So you can see what's going on. See, who is the king that they're going to rebel against? Well, of course, it's Artaxerxes, because what they're redoing is they're rebuilding a nation. You know, that's what it appears to them that they're doing, is they're rebuilding a nation in the middle of the kingdom of Artaxerxes. And they're calling it rebellion. They're laughing. There's no way that Artaxerxes is going to allow this. So they laughed them to scorn. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. In other words, it's none of your business, right? You mind your business, we'll mind ours. We know you have something to do somewhere else. So you go do that, and we'll take care of this because this is our business. That's in other words, that's what Nehemiah is telling these guys. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mi'ah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And next unto him built the men of Jericho. And next to them built Zuchar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasananiah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, and next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel, and next to them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Meronothite, men of Gibeon, and Mizpah, unto the thrones of the governor on this side of the river. And of course, now these are all Israelites, and of course, now we're naming the names of the heathen, the Canaanite cities that they moved into and became parts of, if you're wondering about that. And so they kept some of the names of the cities, or it was easier to name them because that was their common name for those cities that they inhabited, even though now, they were being occupied. Of course, by this time, by Artaxerxes, they had been an occupied nation ever since Babylon came in. You remember the times of the nations, the times of the Gentiles, the word nations from the word ethnos being translated nations many places in the scriptures. And for the beginning, and as I said as when we started this study today, that the times of the Gentiles began with Babylon. Because, see, it's concerning Israel, it's concerning Jerusalem, it's concerning the Temple Mount being trodden underfoot, Jerusalem being trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. And that all began with Babylon. They are under the rule of Babylon now, even though they are now moving back in, but they are still an occupied nation under the control of Artaxerxes. And they have been ever since Babylon, even to this day. Well, you may say, well, the Jews are there. They're their own people now. But are they? Who really controls the nation called Israel today? Who controls them? Well, yeah, some will say the UN, some will say America, and some will even say the Vatican. But how about that Temple Mount there? You know, what do you see on the Temple Mount? Do you see the temple? Do you say that it's the Judaistic temple on the Temple Mount? No, you see the Dome of the Rock. It kind of looks like it's still being trodden underfoot of Gentiles, doesn't it? Of other nations. Because what would those Islams and Muslims be but occupying the Temple Mount? I mean, you still have the Judaistic people over there stuffing prayers into the cracks between the stones of the Temple Mount. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the times of the Gentiles is over for the temple and for Jerusalem if all they get to do is stuff their prayers in the cracks while you have those heathens up there on the mount itself worshiping in their mosque. Because I say that because I have some New Age, what's the guy's name? Eliyahu Ben David, Steve Butt. That's his English name is Steve Butt, or his American name is Steve Butt, but he discovered his Jewishness. But he said that the times of the Gentiles ended, and I don't know, 10 years ago or something. But it's kind of a funny thing that all those heathens are up there, you know, worshiping in their mosque while the Judaistic people, the people that practice Judaism, only get to stuff prayers into cracks. And it kind of belies his fulfillment of the times of the Gentiles. So no, we're still in the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles, I believe we have an illustration in Scripture of what the times of the Gentiles is. And I believe that illustration was given to us by God himself. Well, it absolutely was, because he gave Nebuchadnezzar the image of the dream. Remember the image of the dream? Of the image? The head of gold was Babylon, and then it went down from there through history, beginning with Babylon, the first Gentile nation to rule the whole earth, okay? The first worldwide government, Babylon, and then it moved down, all the way down to the time we're in now, the feet and the 10 toes of clay and iron. That's where we're at today. In that image. And that image represents the times of the Gentiles. And we know when it ends. It ends when that great rock strikes the feet in the image and becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. And when it strikes that image in the feet, it obliterates it so that it becomes like chaff. This is, you can read this in Daniel yourself. And it blows away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that there's no place found for it. So it will be an end to the governments of men. It will be an end to the rule of man on earth. And then, of course, that rock, of course, being Christ and the kingdom of God, which fills the whole earth. And that will be, of course, when Christ returns and the last trump sounds and we experience that great promise called the resurrection. And so there it is for you. If you want to know what the times of the Gentiles is, we find the interpretation for that in the Scripture, and we find it completely verified over and over again. And really, it's one of the foundations or the building blocks of prophecy, and for the understanding of prophecy is the times of the Gentiles and the image dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, which was interpreted by Daniel. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar then went on to build an image of all gold, you know, in defiance of the dream that God gave him, that just the head was gold, and then he wanted everyone to worship his image of all gold. And that gives you a little more understanding about that part of the story too. But that, if you want to go back to my Daniel study on my website, it's all there for you. So I hope you'll go back and listen to the Daniel study and enjoy that, and whatever other resources, a Revelation study, they kind of go hand in hand there. Okay. So anyway, we have Nehemiah. They're building the gate. They're building the wall and the gates. And of course the temple has already been built by this time, because it was built within 2300 days. They had dedicated and cleansed the temple, because you have to have the temple built and finished to clean it, to cleanse it. And it says they purified themselves. So everything that has to do with cleansing was fulfilled there. And, we recorded in Ezra for us. And so we hear 20 years later, here they are building the walls and the gates. Also by decree to Nehemiah, the cupbearer of the king, from Artaxerxes. We continue here in chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired, Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeiah, and they laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Malatiah, the Gibeonite, of Jadon, the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon, and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. And next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of Harariah, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the sons of the the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jedaiah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabaniah, Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashab, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired the other piece, and the tower of the furnaces. And we're coming to the end of the hour. I need a little break here. My throat seems to be getting a tickle in it. Okay, well, stay tuned to the news and do return afterwards, and we'll continue in the book of Nehemiah. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.